message by Pastor Byron Brown was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. Pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this message from God's Word.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that wonderful time of worship. Amen. Amen. Let me encourage you to take your Bibles now and turn me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 as we continue in this series of walking in Christ in spiritual battles as we are in the fourth part of understanding what it means to be as a believer, to be in Him and to face the battles that rage against us when we are walking in Him. So we're in Ephesians 6. We'll be looking at verse 15 specifically this morning. Have you ever felt as a believer when you are confronted with or in the midst of a spiritual battle, have you ever wondered if you're actually going to be able to withstand the battle? You're wondering and thinking, I don't know how much longer I can take of this. Have you ever said a word like this? Well, God, I know your Bible says you're not going to give me more than I can what?
Handle.
But practically, sometimes spiritually, we begin to wonder if the Lord thinks we can handle more than what we know we can handle. And also in the midst of those things, we begin to wonder, where is the peace that happens in the midst of that chaos? In our day, we long for, people long for peace, but spiritually speaking, when it comes to spiritual battles, many times we wonder where the peace is, right? Can we have it in the midst of battles? Well, if we were thinking of those questions, that's exactly what this text is dealing with today. When it comes to the spiritual armor, we're talking about the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, putting that on. And as we think about how we are living and for Christ in spiritual battles, it is a reality that we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. And it is true that the gospel is loaded with peace. And I'm going to help you understand what those mean today and how those come together for us in spiritual warfare. Before we do that, let's kind of recap where we've been. 4 weeks ago, if you're just looking at your Bible, look at Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 11. We learn that we can be strong, not because of us, but because of the Lord. We can be strong in Him. It's not in the strength of our power, it's in the strength of His might. And we are able to withstand those battles. And we know that the schemes are going to come. It's not a suggestion. It is a reality that they're going to come against those who are in Christ. It doesn't just come for the pastors. It doesn't just come for the elders. It doesn't just come for the deacons. It comes for every person who has the name of Christ on them. Satan wants to destroy our reputation, the church's reputation, so he will try to come against us. But he tells us to put on the whole armor of God so that we can do what? So that we can stand against the enemy. And we realized a few weeks ago that Satan is going to come at us at multiple ways, multiple schemes, multiple levels. He has many ranks. He doesn't just come with one particular task or one particular tactic. He's going to come at us in many ways. You may feel like you've gotten victory over one particular battle. Well, guess what? What Satan's going to do? He's not going to stop at that particular one. He's going to come at you in some other way. Also, we learned that we can have victory when it comes to spiritual battles. Look at the text that's right there in verse 13. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We're going to have victory. We're going to be able to withstand it. Then he says, after doing all, which is a phrase that was used in athletics, also in war, that gave the implication that victory was won. He says, after you've done all, then you're going to stand again. What's the cycle? God gives you the strength. You can withstand it. You have victory. But guess what you got to do again? You got to get ready to do what? Stand and be ready for the next one that's coming your way. Satan will not stop until he is thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity and Christ has come back for his church and we are glorified and we stand before the presence of God forever and ever. Until then, he knows his doomsday and so he's going to do everything that he can to bring us down and the church down. So we have to be prepared and ready for that. We learn about the first piece of our armor is the belt of truth. Literally, when it talks about the armor from the soldier standpoint, the belt held many pieces of armor together. The dagger actually hung on the belt and the other pieces as well. From a spiritual standpoint, we learned that that is the beginning foundational piece when it talks about the armor of God. The belt of truth. Without truth, without the Word of God, you can't understand righteousness. You can't understand the gospel of peace. You can't understand the shield of faith. What are you going to put faith in if you don't know what truth is? You can't put a helmet of salvation on because salvation comes to the truth of the Word of God. It is the foundational piece to the armor of God. We learn how do we use the Spirit of truth. We learn how to use the belt of truth. We learn that the belt of truth is solid biblical content in contrast to the false teaching that's given by false teachers. We know that it's solid biblical content, and the way that it's used is more in a reaction aspect. When Satan throws his darts at you, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, you're saturating yourself with the Word of God, he brings the recall of the Word of God to your mind for that particular mind, that particular issue, that particular battle that's going on. That's why it's important for every one of us to bring the Word of God with you every time that you gather for worship. When I'm preaching, circle it, mark it up, whatever it may be. This is your roadmap. This is your task. If you don't want to write in your Bible, then get you a binder. That's why the whole punch of sermon notes. So you can be able to get it with you, so you can take it in, put the Word of God in you, so that when you're in that moment of a spiritual battle, the Spirit of God can bring back to your mind those truths that you need. The belt of truth will help you. And then we learned about the breastplate of righteousness last week, that the breastplate of righteousness is twofold, two aspects. It is our righteous position, our righteous standing with God, and our righteous living before God. How does that practically play out? When Satan tries to attack you, you can be able to say back to him, you quote your positional aspect of your righteousness. You say, listen, I used to be in your camp. I used to belong to you, but the grace of God has been demonstrated in my life. Christ has saved me. He has set me free. You have no longer any hold on my life. You claim the breastplate of righteousness. You have been declared righteous before God. And then you claim your righteous living, because listen to me, what we meant by that is that we live out our righteousness every day. We are obedient to the Word of God. You just take 1 week or you take 1 day when you don't focus on the Word of God, when you don't focus in your life of prayer, and what you're doing is you're putting a big target on you spiritually for Satan to be able to aim his darts right at you. Amen? You just take one vacation week, if you will, from your spiritual pursuit and your spiritual disciplines, and guess what's going to happen? Satan's going to go, ding, that's you. The reality is we must be aware that we cannot back down or give any ground when it comes to our righteous living. And those two go hand in hand. You can't have a righteous life if you've not been declared righteous before God. They both go hand in hand. We come to the third piece today of the armor of God. And I pray that these pieces are making more sense to you each week as we go along, and that you're becoming fitted, if you will, with the armor of God. Today we come to, as I have called it, your feet fitted with readiness. Now, some people have been joking with me that my sermon titles are getting longer and the way that my points are getting longer. Literally, I'm going to give you the true long title. It's here. Your feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I can make it longer if you want me to make it longer. That's literally the armor of God that's given to you that is here. Look at the text. And this is what we're going to be looking at today. Verse 14 is where we're going to start. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And that's pretty obvious what the armor is right there, correct? Put on the belt of truth and put on the breastplate of righteousness. And the third one, he says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, some of you may think that when you're looking at the actual piece of the armor is the gospel of peace, but that's not the armor. Notice what he says we are to put on. Having put on what? The readiness that comes from, or that's given from, the gospel of peace. So the actual third piece of armor that you have is readiness. And some of you may think, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, that's my role today, is to help you understand what it means to put on readiness. Let's follow the pattern that we've been following with the previous two pieces of armor. I'm going to ask the three questions today. when do we put this armor on? Secondly, what is this piece of armor? And then thirdly, in practical or applications, how do we use this piece of armor? Well, the first, let's take the first question. When do I put readiness, or when do we put readiness on our feet? Well, I hope you know the answer to this question by now. You should know the answer from the previous one. It's prior to what? To battle. Look at the text again. Verse 14. This is your main verb that's in this emphasis of these verses. What's the verb? Stand. That's your command. Stand, therefore. And we know that it's the participles that are there. Notice the ing words. Having. Having what? Fasten the belt of truth. Having what? Put on the breastplate of righteousness. And then verse 15, having what? Put on the readiness. These three descriptions that are given to us, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and now the readiness from the gospel of peace, tell us how we are going to be able to stand. Paul is not telling you to stand for battle unprepared. So how do we know this is talking about prior to battle? He's saying you stand having done these things. So what does that mean practically? It means practically today, prior to your battle, you need to learn what it means to have the readiness for the gospel. So that when the battle comes, you're ready with it, your mentality knows it, your biblical understanding of it has increased, so that when the battle rages, and it will, you're ready for that particular battle. So we put it on prior to the battle. Now look at verse 18. Notice a way by which Paul describes for us, after he goes through all of this armor, I want you to notice a phrase that he uses in verse 18. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, say it with me, keep what? Alert. He gives us this phrase to realize you cannot be, to use this phrase, sleepy as a Christian. You have to be awake. What of Peter? He also said this in 1 Peter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, will seek someone to destroy. You have to be alert and ready. That's what I'm saying to you this morning. You need to be prepared right now. Take notes, whatever it is, so that you understand what it means to have readiness for the gospel of peace. So let's now ask our questions. We're spending most of our time. Number two, what is this readiness that we're to put on our feet? Look at the text again there so you understand what we're talking about. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, some of you have older, maybe some translations that may say your feet are shod with the gospel of peace. That literally means basically how that you dress your feet, how you're putting them on your feet. This is the same thing we're talking about. That's why the ESV talks about shoes, because it's a way by which we dress our feet. Notice the comparative word that is there in verse 15. And as a shoe. So he's giving us an analogy, like you put on shoes for walking, or for running, or for jogging, or whatever it may be. He says, as you put them on, this is the way by which you need to understand that you're putting on readiness for the gospel of peace. So what is this? Well, here's the answer. I want to give it to you, and then I want to explain to you what it really means to have the readiness. Here's the answer. Readiness is the confidence or mindset that a believer is at peace with God because of the grace of Jesus Christ demonstrated in his or her salvation. Let me say that again. Readiness is the confidence or mindset that a believer is at peace with God because of the grace of Jesus Christ demonstrated at his or her salvation. Now I'm going to unfold that, unpack that for you this morning to help you understand what we're talking about here. What we're talking about, because we're talking about the connection of the gospel of peace here. And he says, put on the readiness. And the readiness literally is the word of confidence, of a mentality. You need to, in essence, let me summarize it for you, and then we're going to unpack it. It means you're putting on a confidence in the spiritual battles because you know, because of the grace of Christ, you are in a right relationship with God. God has made you at peace with Him. And the favor of God is on you in the midst of the battle, so it's a peace for you. Even though the battle may be raging all around you, you are at peace in the midst of that battle because you are in a right relationship with God. When you ask yourself the question, how in the world can you make it through it? It is because God has given you peace in the midst of these things. You may say, well, that doesn't seem like a very important piece of armor. It's an extremely important piece of armor. Because when things are difficult, when things are raging, you may not be able to understand what's going on, but you at least can be able to know that you are at peace with God in the midst of those things. When it seems like that there's no way out of your situation, if a relationship is bleak, or a job situation is difficult, or the spiritual battle is raging with your children, you can know and rest assured that part of your armor is peace, because if Satan can get you distraught, and he can get you at a point where you seem hopeless, then you're basically widening a target for him to put his arrows and other things. But if you can be at peace with God, regardless of what goes on, then you're at a sure-footedness to be able to endure through those times. And I know many of you, just being your pastor and being your shepherd, I mean, I've had conversations with many of you, and many battles are raging for many of you. And in the midst of those battles, what I'm observing and so thankful for many of you is you can say, and you said the very words, but I know that God is in control. Folks, that is an important piece of the armor of God, to know that we're at peace with Him. Now, I know that when you're looking at this passage of Scripture, I know immediately what some of you are thinking about what this means about putting on the readiness from the gospel of peace. Let me be honest with you. This piece of the armor has puzzled many New Testament scholars. There's two major interpretations from this passage of Scripture. Some would say literally what this means is that we're to be ready to share the gospel at any time. That should be a part of our piece of armor. And the second interpretation is what I'm expressing to you, is that the readiness comes from the fact that the gospel of peace has been demonstrated to us. The fact that we are in a right relationship and that we are in peace with God. Now, listen, I believe an application of that is if you are at peace with God and you're living for Christ in peace, then a normal thing that you're going to be doing is sharing the gospel of peace with other people. Let me show you why that I believe that what I've expressed to you is the correct way. Look again at chapter 6 and verse 14. Notice what he is emphasizing for us in the main verb. Stand, therefore. You notice that? He's not talking about making forward action. He's not talking about taking something forward. He's talking about doing what? Standing. Because the three pieces of armor are connected to that because of that participle verb. They're having. Having put on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having put on the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, those are things that's going to help you, church, to be able to stand your ground when Satan throws his darts your way. And what's going to help you stand your ground is that you're going to have that peace with God. That's why we lean more towards that instead of just saying this is readiness to share the gospel. The reason why I think it's not just talking about readiness to share the gospel is because of what verse 17 says. Look at verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of what? The Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. That is your offensive weapon in all this list of armor. It's the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is what we use when we're going forth and proclaiming the Word of God. Listen, we're going to go forth and we're going to proclaim the Word of God. And we're going to enter and we're going to come against Satan's enemies and Satan's warfare. Because of Matthew chapter 16, it tells us that the gates of hell will not prevail against what? The church. And the gates is a defense mechanism that he's talking about, the gates of hell. And if he says the church is not going to be overthrown by that, guess what that means that the church is going to be doing? Is that we're going and we're attacking the gates of hell. Meaning that as we're going out and sharing the gospel and doing the things for Christ, we're attacking Satan's territory. We don't just stand back and wait. That's what verse 17 is about. But right now, we're talking about having the gospel of peace for us. So that's what we're going to look at. And let's break that down. He gives us the imagery, the reason why we can also say that is the readiness and the confidence of knowing that we are at peace with God is because the imagery that he uses and the analogy of shoes. Look at it again there in verse 15. And as shoes for your feet, having put on readiness given by the gospel of peace. This word shoes that he's literally using here is a way by which he's talking about stability and firm-footedness. Why in the world would Paul, if he's talking about spiritual battle, even talk about our feet? Because in his culture, warfare happened most of the time in hand-to-hand combat. They didn't have long-range missiles. They didn't have those tanks. They didn't have M16s. They didn't have all the things with warfare. They had to be hand in hand. And what was important is if their feet weren't prepared for battle, then they are the weak ones. The other individual could push them out of the way. So literally, a soldier would take the shoes for his feet and he would tie them tight so his ankles were protected. They would have greaves is what it would call it. It would wrap around the side of their legs to protect them in warfare so that if someone was to try to attack their legs, that they know that if they can knock them weak in their ankles, then they were a weak individual and could not stand the ground. Literally, some of the soldiers would take nails and drive them through the soles of their feet, much like spikes would be on golf cleats or cleats for baseball, so that they could be able to hold their ground as the enemy is pushing against them. That is the imagery that Paul is giving us, church. That he's saying, this gospel of peace will give you your firm footedness. If you don't have it, then you're going to be able to stand your ground. You understand the importance of it now? That he's saying to us, this is a way by which you need to gird yourself, prepare yourself to be able to stand your ground against the enemy. You know what this implies? Is Satan is going to do everything that he can to push against you. He's not just going to simply tease you. He's going to fight you in hand-to-hand combat. This is not to scare you, but it's to give you the reality of the way spiritual warfare is. You have to guard yourself, prepare yourself with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Gird yourself. Put your shoes on so that you're able to stand. Let me just say something to you here. Paul has used this word stand on a few occasions already. Stand, therefore, he tells us. Put on the whole armor of God. You may be stand against the enemy so that you can withstand him. And then he says it again, verse 14, stand, therefore. Now, why in the world would Paul emphasize the word stand? If he's not also implying that it's possible to not be able to stand if you're not having the armor of God on. Spiritually speaking, anybody here felt like you failed in spiritual battle? Anybody felt like you were weak in a spiritual battle? Sure, all of us are and have at times. Because maybe we weren't ready, maybe we weren't prepared, maybe we were caught off guard. And that's what Paul is saying to us in the importance of this moment is to be prepared. And listen, his attacks are going to come in various ways, but he's telling us to make certain that we have our feet prepared. Now, he tells us to be prepared with what? Look at the text again. That we're putting our feet on, put our shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Now, let's dissect this gospel of peace so you can understand what this readiness really is, because it comes from the gospel of peace. What is the gospel of peace? As I explained to you last week, we need to make certain that we begin where Paul in his own book has used these words so we can begin to understand what he's trying to communicate to us. The gospel of peace, let me just give you this disclaimer, is not saying that when you became a Christian that you are supposed to be peaceful with everybody, meaning that you don't have to be tolerant of everything, that you just want to maintain peace with people. That's not what he's talking about. Because listen to me, if you're proclaiming the gospel, sometimes that is controversial when you proclaim truth to people, when you confront people in sin and you can proclaim the gospel that they're lost and they need Jesus, then their pride is confronted. Listen, that's not peace to them, right? That's hostility. So that's not what he's talking about here. Peace is rooted in Ephesians 2. Let me show you. The gospel of peace is this, in essence. The gospel of peace is that you and I can be reconciled to God through the work of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel of peace. The fact that God has done the work through the blood of Jesus Christ to be able to reconcile us to Him. And if we need to be reconciled, that means for someone to be reconciled, that means that we were distant, we were separated, we were set apart. But the gospel of peace is that you were once distant and God, through the work of His Son Jesus Christ, has brought you near. He's been able to give you peace with God. That's the gospel, church. We have sometimes taken away this gospel understanding what it means to be saved and that we just simply say, well, just say this prayer and you can be saved. No, we need to understand we're separated. We're alienated. alienated. We're sinners. The wrath of God is destined towards us. There's hostility between us and God because of our sin. And peace can only happen because of the grace of Christ. You take that to spiritual warfare and you understand because you are no longer in the camp of Satan where you once were, but now you're in the kingdom of God. That gives you peace in the middle of the battle. Are you with me now? And that's the readiness that he's talking about. That we can have our feet firmly standing when Satan tries to counter and challenge our identity. We can say to him, no, my feet are firm because I have the gospel of peace. I've been redeemed. The blood's been applied to me. I'm no longer a part of you. That is the way by which we can stand. And you have to say that over and over and over again to him. He is a father of lies, and he's going to lie to you. He's going to say things to you. You need to remind him of the truth as much as he reminds you of lies. Claim the truth of God to him. So look at Ephesians 2. And notice, if you're taking notes or if you're circling your Bible, whatever you need to do to get this down, you can understand what he's talking about, the gospel of peace. It is the fact that we can be reconciled with God. Let's look at verse 11 through verse 18. If you remember what Paul is getting at in this passage of Scripture, is there were two groups of people. There were the Jews who had been converted to Christ, and there were Gentiles who had become Christians, and there was a sense of pride among the Jewish Christians in that they thought that they were the elite ones. And Paul is speaking to them and saying, listen, there is no longer two groups of people in Christ. There is one body of people. Because of Christ, it's no longer Jew, it's no longer Gentile, it's those who've been redeemed, and through Christ, he's made one man. He has made the body of Christ. That's what he's getting at. But notice in this terminology, when we look at this passage, how he talks about that we were separated, we were alienated, we were outcast, but through Christ, through the blood of Christ, we've been reconciled, and peace has happened between two groups of people, Jews and Gentiles, and secondly, peace has happened between us and God. Let's look at the text, chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called by the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no what? Hope, and without God in the world. Sounds bleak, doesn't it? But then he says, but now. We're going to do a series at some point about the but gods and the but nows throughout the book of the Bible. I mean, when you see that phrase, but God and but now, it is that God is about to do something amazing for us. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have what? Been brought where? Near. By what? The blood of Christ. And then notice what he says here. For he himself is our what? Our peace. This is the gospel of peace. We were set apart. We were distant. We were nowhere close. If anybody in this room is lost and you think that you're close to Christ because of your good deeds, let me clear that up for you. You're as far away from God as you can ever be. It's only through the blood of Christ, and he can bring us near. And then notice what he says in verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh, such a good word, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making what? Peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, and thereby killing the hostility. He came and preached what? Peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. Through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So when Paul says to us, put on the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, he's saying to us, we are able to stand our ground. We are putting on readiness as shoes on our feet with the confidence that we know we once were outcasts, but in the midst of the battle, when Satan rages against us, we can say we are at peace with God. Are you with me? That is a great important armor for us to have as the body of Christ. That we know that whatever rages, we're at peace because of Christ. Now, Paul uses the same imagery in Romans chapter 5. Now, I want you, before you turn there, I want you to look at something with me. I want you to look at the order. Look at chapter 6. And notice the piece of armor at the end of verse 14, which precedes the readiness given by the gospel of peace. It is the breastplate of righteousness, correct? So we have righteousness, then we have peace. Look at Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 1 and look at verse 2. If you remember in context, in explanation last week, chapter 3, verse 21, actually turn there with me very quickly. Paul has told us how our positional righteousness takes place. It is when we place faith in Him. But now the righteousness of God has been made manifest apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through what? Faith in Christ Jesus. So chapter 3 speaks about how we get righteousness. Chapter 4 amplifies it when he talks about Abraham being justified and declared righteous. And notice the end of chapter 4. Look at verse 23. But the words, "it was counted to him," which is referring to Abraham, "it was counted to him," were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. Meaning that because Abraham had faith, righteousness was declared to him. When Paul says it wasn't just written for him, it was written for us, which means when we have faith, we will be declared righteous as well. Verse 24, but for ours also, it will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. We're justified at that moment means we are declared righteous. Now follow me for a moment. Remember back in Ephesians 6, the order of the armor was breastplate of righteousness and then the gospel of peace because we're reconciled. Notice what Paul addresses in chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have what? Woo! Is it coincidental? I think Paul was convicted and knew that peace comes only after justification. You can try to have peace and you can try to get peace with everything in this world. You can buy every new car, buy every new piece of clothing, and it gives you a moment of peace until you get the bill and you realize the peace is not there any longer. And what Paul is saying to us is true, eternal, long-lasting peace comes when justification, righteousness takes place with us. And the byproduct and the very next result of that is we will have peace. And then notice verse 2. Through Him of Christ, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace. Oh, please don't miss this. In which we walk. Hello? Is anybody in the house? Do you remember what Ephesians 6 says? Woo! Stand therefore, having put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and put on your feet the readiness which comes from the gospel of peace. That's what Paul says in Romans 5. We're able to stand in the grace of Christ. That's what we're standing in, church. You're not standing on anything else in spiritual battles. You're not standing on your eloquence. You're not standing on your degrees. You're not standing on anything else. You are standing in the grace of Christ alone. If we want to endure as a church, if you want to endure as a family, if you want to endure individually, it's only going to be the fact that you're standing in the grace of Christ. You've been justified. You're in the grace of God. You have peace. That's all that's going to help you stand. That is putting your feet firmly fitted so that you can stand against the enemy. Now, the byproduct of that, if you're able to stand, you're able to have peace, then you can share the gospel. Because you know what you're standing in. You with me there? Because listen, when you're sharing the gospel, you're going to come against people. You're going to come against challenges. But listen, it is rooted in our standing. That's the gospel of peace. Is that we were distraught, we were separated, but now we're able to stand. So what's our answer again? The answer is this. Readiness is the confidence, our mindset, that a believer is at peace with God because of the grace of Jesus Christ, what was demonstrated in his or her salvation. You got it? So when we leave this place today, when you wake up in the morning, or next week, when the battles rage, put on confidence. Not because of what you did. Because remember what Paul says in Ephesians 2. We were dead. We did nothing. But the grace of God was demonstrated to us through what His Son did. So if that's true, how do we live and how do we use this piece of armor? I want to give you 2 points of application to the believer. And I want to give one to those who may be here who are lost. How do we use this piece of armor? Well, number one, it is this. Know the gospel of peace so that you will be confident in spiritual battles. What I've just said to you is the knowledge that you need to know you can stand those spiritual battles. You claim that truth. That you know this is what the gospel is for. That you've been declared righteous and that Satan no longer has claim on you. That you stand. Listen, individually and as a church, our adequate understanding of this gospel will be what gives us our firm footedness. I hope that you're seeing the connection between all of these pieces of armor back to the Word of God. The truth. Because what I've proclaimed to you came from truth. It's going to be another one of those pieces of armor that you're going to be able to have as the belt of truth that the Holy Spirit's going to bring back up to your mind. Every one of these pieces of armor is rooted in the Word of God. This is why, church, your Bible doesn't need to sit on the dashboard Monday through Saturday and you pull it off and dust it off on Sunday. It needs to be by your bed, in your lap, as you're reading the Word of God, whatever it may be. You're internalizing, memorizing, soaking in the Word of God so you can be confident. I want you to think about something with me. Think about this concept that Paul has given. He's talking about warfare. Can you imagine a general speaking to the soldiers in Iraq or Afghanistan and saying, "Don't worry, we're at peace." And that guy's in the foxhole and he's about to be shot at, and then soldiers and the general saying, "Be at peace." This is what Paul is saying. The battle is raging. And he's saying, "You're at peace." It's a literal warfare going on, church. But Paul is saying to us, we can be at peace and stand. Well, how's the second way we can use this? Secondly is this. Know the gospel of peace so that you will not waver as the gospel is challenged. If you're able to stand firm because you know what the gospel of peace is, and that the only way, listen to me, the only way that a person can have a right relationship with God and that can be moved from separation to reconciliation is only through the blood of Christ. You can stand firm on that as you live out your righteous life and you have the opportunity to share the gospel and people challenge that. You will not waver as long as you know that this is the gospel of peace. Because listen to me. What I've just explained to you and described to you as the gospel of peace is not espoused and proclaimed and taught by everyone that's out there. For example, as you come across and come in contact with coworkers and you're talking to them about the gospel of peace, you're talking about them to be reconciled with God, some of them may even say, well, the religion is just for you because you're weak. Religion is just for weak people. That's not what the gospel of peace says. The gospel of peace says they are separated and alienated. So you stand your ground. You don't let that confuse you. Don't let that deter you. Don't let it discourage you. When you share the gospel of peace and you live that out, then you know that when someone says to you, well, Jesus Christ really isn't Lord, He was just a created being, you stand your ground because that says to you that they're separated, they're alienated, they need the gospel of peace. You see what I'm saying? And so you don't back down from what is the gospel. How does this apply? Well, Paul tells us a couple of the texts. Listen to me, church. You need to know the gospel so that you can be able to discern the false gospel. Chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. Paul said these words, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. When someone knocks on your door and they tell you something contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the only way that you can come to Christ or come to God is through Christ and that He is fully God. If someone says anything contrary to that, you stand your ground. If someone says to you they can earn their way by doing religious behavior, you stand your ground. Have a broken heart for them and share the gospel with them because you long for them to be reconciled just as you were. Paul warned Timothy as a young pastor in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 through 5. Time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Do you hear what Paul says to Timothy? Listen to me, church. Don't miss this. You individually and us corporately, if we are faithful to proclaim the gospel, there will be times that we will have to endure suffering. Because we stand for what is true. We stand for what is right. And that's what I'm saying to you. Let your feet be deeply planted in the gospel. And don't waver. Stand your ground. Because as you stand your ground in humility and love and grace, those who resist you, as Paul tells us, we plant the seed and we water and the Spirit of God will break that heart of stone and will make a heart of flesh. How does this apply to those in this room who are lost? Listen to me. God has spoken to your heart this morning as I've talked about the gospel of peace. And you have listened and you have learned. You've been convicted this morning that you are separated and that you are alienated and that you are not at peace with God. Today, I want you to realize that there is a battle raging for your soul right now. Satan will do everything he can in this moment to distract you, to discourage you, and to deter you from hearing the gospel of peace. And if you don't place faith in Christ and allow the peace of God to be applied to you, when you leave this place, warfare takes place around you. Satan and his angels and his demons will do everything that they can to make you not believe in the gospel of peace. John Piper has made this statement. He said, "The power of sin and the powers of Satan are dead set against making peace with God." And I say to you, in this time of commitment that we're about to enter into, do not think that where you stand in sin is putting you anywhere close to a right relationship with God. You need today, as Paul says, today is a day of salvation. You need to repent of your sin. Ask Christ to redeem you and give you peace with God. Are you at peace with God today? Do you know that you have that right relationship with Him? Are you, believer, holding to Christ? What is your feet firmly planted in as your battle rages? I pray that your feet are not planted in your finances. I pray that your feet are not planted in a comfortable job. I pray that your feet are not planted in the things of this world, but they're planted in the fact that you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to you. I close with this illustration. Because of where we live, we all are very aware of the way hurricanes work. Hurricanes rage in their outer bands. There is something of a storm that is called the eye. And in the center of that eye, there is an amazing miracle of calmness and peace. Church, I want to say this to you. When you are in the center of Christ, you're at peace. Spiritual battles may be raging, but if you walk in Jesus and you live in Jesus and you claim the peace of God, Satan can throw his darts, but you're resting and you're firmly planted in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I know that those who are in this room, some are believers and some may not. For the believers this morning, I pray, Jesus, that if they have been trying to plant their firmness, their feet, on anything else other than who they are in You, then today, I pray that they lay those things aside. And I pray for those where the battles are raging and they feel that they can't go on and they feel that they can't stand any longer. And Father, I pray today that You give them assuredness that You are with them in the midst of the storm. And Father, I pray right now for those who are in this room who have never placed faith in You and to have peace with You. And Father, I pray right now by the power of Your Holy Spirit that You would convict them and that You would show them that nothing that they do can ever place them in a right relationship with You outside of placing faith in the One who shed His life for us. God, today, would You plant us firmly in the gospel? And would You bring people who are in the camp of Satan, would You take them from the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light? Because You've shown them that only through You can peace. Father, we pray that You have Your will and Your way in this moment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Byron Brown, Senior Pastor at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682.